Let me say a few words today about unity, something that we all long for and don't know very well how to accomplish. Unity can't be legislated. It can't be an edict. It can't be enforced. It can't be forced in any way. It has to do with an awakening of the heart, and there is no other way for it to happen than through an awakening of the heart. And so we all wish for a world in which unity is present, but we don't know how to accomplish it because it involves a human-divine interaction. The divine interaction is that which is of the light, the force of God, which would help us overcome the tendencies toward isolation and fear within ourselves. We think of ourselves, and truly are, loving and desiring to love in our days when we walk around and meet people and converse with people. But we are each vulnerable to those situations and those particular circumstances where our hearts close down. The vulnerability comes from our history. It doesn't come from a conscious intention, as sometimes it could be there too, to close down. But very often, it's a feeling of feeling unsafe. And so most of us are living in the world with different degrees of unsafety, where it doesn't feel that love is possible because what feels instead of love to be present is unsafety. So this is based partly and sometimes on the circumstances we're dealing with, but very often it's not. Very often it's not the circumstance that's causing us to feel unsafe, but the projection we have upon the circumstance, the attitude we bring to it. And so we close down in anticipation of something that we feel will be threatening or hurtful or dangerous to us, and I'm speaking mostly emotionally. We close down in anticipation of it because of our past experience, instead of anticipating being open. So these are pockets of fear that we are dealing with in our own life. And even though it may seem to you, if you think about a circle of love, that let's say 80% of the time you feel nothing but loving openness towards people, that other 20% is affecting the 80%. It may not look like it, but the 20% is that reservation of your heart where you're not willing to love beings, where you're getting caught up in the interaction or the drama or the fear, so that that portion is a 20% portion of your heart being closed. And it doesn't matter that it relates to something else other than what's going on in that present moment. If your heart is 20% closed because you're afraid, then you bring that closeness to everything that you do. And of course, if it's 50% closed, then you bring 50% closeness. So, beloved ones, this is the task of the human-divine partnership. How do we actually accomplish unity when part of us, whether it's 20% or 50%, is afraid? How do we do that? That's everybody's question. But the answer is layered. The answer is we don't do it. We do it in partnership with prayer, with the humble desire to be healed in that place in our hearts where we're not open. And in order to be humble and ask to be healed, we have to have an awareness that there is something to be healed. So if we're walking around and thinking we're all healed, then we're not aware that something needs to be healed. So these things go together. The desire for unity and love comes from the soul transmitting that impulse to the heart. The fear of love being an area of vulnerability does not come from the soul. It comes from the personality level, which is to say, there's not enough love to go around. I have to take care of myself. That's the issue here. The I have to take care of myself and there's no more of me to go around. The opposite or the alternative to that is what I've said to you some other times, the attitude of, how may I serve thee? That attitude is a universal request. How may I be led to serve thee? Thee being my other being, my other part. But if we don't feel generous, if we feel self-protective, there's no question about how may I serve thee, because we're taking care of our own sense of unsafety. And that's the problem with human unity, is that we run into this counterpoint between the part that feels generous and ready to love and the part that wants to run and hide from difficult circumstances. Well, there are, in a spiritual context, various things that we do about this. We don't just say, I'm afraid, although you can say that. You can take time out from doing anything. You try and do something with your fear. You try and be with it, not to punish it or to push it away or to invalidate it, but to do something with your fear so that you feel that there's another part of you that can actually rise up and express itself in the presence of fear. People ask frequently, when will my fear go away? When will I be done with this? You know that question. When will I be done with whatever I'm dealing with? And I say to you, it don't have to be done. Done is good when it happens, but there's all the way along where there's something to be accomplished by your own desire to be attached to or united with God. This is the strongest impulse in the human heart, is the desire for union. It may not look that way because we, as a collective society, have lived so much with fear. So it may look like the strongest motivation is self-preservation or taking care of our own needs. But it isn't. The strongest desire is the desire for unity and reunion with our wholeness. The strongest desire. So before we get to the outcome of when will this be over, we get to the process of what do you do in the presence of fear. And you should think about that, because everyone here has a question about that. What do I do in the presence of fear? You can be afraid for yourself. You know, afraid that if you do something, it doesn't have to involve other people, that if you do something or try something or risk something, that something bad will happen. And you can be afraid in the presence of other people about what will happen in terms of energies that you might take on, or what will happen if somebody is critical or rejecting. So what do? We become aware of our fear. We pray for healing, and we believe in ourselves and in the human-divine partnership. This is key, because for many people who are dealing with strong energies of self-protection, it seems like a daunting prospect to be dealing with it by yourself. But you're not dealing with it by yourself. That's the point. The point of a spiritual consciousness is to know that there is something called light, and there is something called prayer, and there is something called healing, and it's a process. It's a process that you engage in. So you're not doing it by yourself. And how deliberately do you engage in it? Well, I will tell you how deliberately. If you're getting angry with somebody because of what they're doing to you, you're not engaging in it. You're engaging in the expression of self-protection. Anger is a form of self-protection. Anger is a reaction to feeling helpless, vulnerable, and so on. So if you're doing that, you're not addressing the divine in terms of healing. If you're in protest about life and saying this shouldn't be happening, whatever the circumstances, you're not involved in your own healing. That doesn't mean you have to deny the protest or deny your anger or deny anything. But it means that the process of asking for help through the power of your soul, which is light, needs to be going on to supersede the entitlement to feel angry, miffed, irritated, frustrated, where there's nothing else going on. Then you engage with the process of healing. And it's a full-time job. And some of you are feeling like you're overworked, I know. And some of you are feeling like you have several full-time jobs, yourself and a few other people that are full-time jobs. How may I serve thee is the generosity of the soul that knows itself to be one with all. How may I help thee, how may I help you, is the generosity of one who feels that there's more than fear inside and that recognizes that there's no such thing as a stranger. There's no such thing as an other. There are just beings on the journey together on this planet. There are just beings. And so that attitude of generosity is a quality of the soul that's longing to come forth, and what's stopping it is fear, all kinds of fears. I want to assure you again that the desire for unity is the strongest desire there is. It's like saying the desire for your own truth, your own wholeness. Unity, love, generosity are part of your soul, and your soul is your wholeness, connected with your embodiment. So there isn't anything stronger, and everything else is based on the legacy of feeling separate and alone. Some of you may feel that you're in situations with family or friends where the question, how may I help you, creates a shudder in you, that you feel that you're in an alien situation with family or friends or people in general where that other would not understand the question. They would recoil from it. So at times, courage is needed to maintain the inner unity and the inner desire for unity in the presence of that which seems to reject it altogether. It seems to have no interest in it, I won't even say reject, because of history. Really, we need compassion for history. History involves people believing that they're much smaller than they are. Us, we believe that we're much smaller than we are. So you may encounter people in your life who don't have access to that kind of generosity because of their lifetimes in fear or in separation. So you can't be generous expecting a generous response back. That's a conditional amount of love, and you can't do it because it's likely not to happen. Could happen, but it won't happen necessarily right away. However, generosity breeds generosity. So if you have the courage to be that way, then you'll see some benefit from being that way. In this time on the earth, there is a great deal of suffering. And one might say that there is always has been a great deal of suffering on the earth, and that would be true. And in this time, there is also a great deal of suffering, and there is a great deal of opposition as an energy to our caring for each other. Because of the expansion of spiritual light on the earth, forces are also marshaled to prevent that expansion into love and unity and to reinforce fear and the desire for separation. And so in our daily activity, we make the choice, which way do we go? Towards separation or towards unity? We make the choice with every conversation we have. We make the choice with every situation we're in where we feel uncomfortable and would like to withdraw. We make the choice for love or for something else, which is a whole variety of things. It could be numbness, it could be indifference, it could be fear, it could be anger. Whatever it is, it's not love. So we have the opportunity to identify with compassion with every being on the earth. And today in particular, as with most other days, we can tune ourselves to those places on the earth where there is great suffering. I was informed this morning that there was, this morning, a volcano eruption and a tsunami in Indonesia. This just happened this morning. And while I don't know the statistics, there are many fatalities. And this is in Indonesia, which has experienced before many trauma, much trauma to the landmass and to the people there. So we don't know at the moment whether it's hundreds of people or thousands of people. But we are called. This is it, beloved ones, this is it. We are called when we hear about something to say a prayer, not to feel that our single point of light can't influence a volcano or the tsunami in an ocean. Of course, on that literal level, that's not it. But our single prayer, when we hear of something that's somebody's death or a natural disaster, that's how we engage with life. We respond to what comes to us. We respond as if we mattered. We don't think we matter most of the time. So if you make it a practice, and it's a beautiful spiritual practice, if you hear of somebody's death, just hear in your ears of somebody's death, it's because you were meant to hear about it. Those words of somebody's passing were meant to come to you so that you could offer up something about that. And so you don't need to be indifferent to anything. And the, similarly with what I said about Krakatoa is the name of the volcano, we hear about that and then we feel pain or grief that there's yet another large number of people whose lives are disrupted. And we feel whatever we feel about it. But the place of mattering is the place of prayer. And this is what I pray. I say to God, whatever is in me that can be empowered to send forth love, support, and help, may it be sent. That's the prayer. May whatever is in me that can be of help in this situation go forth to help, love, and support. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. But it starts with the premise of unity, that message of the, in this case, the tsunami and the volcanic eruption, it didn't come to you to fall on deaf ears. It didn't come to you to just say, oh, that's terrible. It that too, you can feel grief. It came to you so you could interact with it. That's how unity is built, that you take responsibility for mattering and you interact with whoever's in front of you. In this case, it's across an ocean, but they're still in front of me. They're there. I'm there. They're there with me and I'm there with them. So I say, may anything that I can offer to this situation be sent forth so it can help. And every one of us can do that, assuming that we matter. So this is my summary then. To believe that unity gets created through the awakening of the heart to greater love and through the awareness and processing of fear that stands in the way of love, and through believing that we matter. All three things have to happen in order to manifest unity upon the earth. And so we pray together that we may become instruments of love and unity in our daily lives, that where there is fear, we may be able to penetrate that fear through the strengthening of our desire to love and through the strengthening of our awareness that every word that we utter in love matters, even if it appears not to, even if it is rejected, even if it is treated with indifference. Every word that we utter with love matters. And if the person we utter the words to is an ocean away, then our love, through the words in our heart and the words that we speak, will cross that ocean and be received wherever it is needed. We hold that in faith and trust in the divine unity of all in all. May all be blessed. Amen.